Let's see if we can go back over here to this first dimensional step. Now, most of you are familiar with this up here. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to do something for me. The reason I'm calling on Brother Taylor, over there when they had a deliverance, they had a Caleb. And Brother Taylor, he knows this revelation is good or maybe better than I do. So get him up here and he'll give us a hand with it. And I wanted him to write down something here that we kind of work from tonight and see if we can kind of work together on it. He's about the only one that can interpret what I say looks like. Can you write a... I can't even interpret myself if the Lord don't help me. I write it and then I can't read it. But let's see if we had a... If you can put it from right along here to here... What it's going to have to be, it's going to have to be like we have a cross here, and a cross here. And then we have to come under here with a little mountain like this, a little mountain here like that, right in between the crosses. We'll have to pick up the mountains and give me a mountain on each end of the cross and give us just a few minutes here so we'll get a pattern. If I can put something in your thought pattern, this will really help you. How many of you know the Bible said great? Great is the mystery of godliness. Somebody said, oh, it's a simple wayfaring fool can pick it up. No, I beg your pardon. Paul said, I'm a steward of the mysteries of Christ. The Bible said the sound of the trumpet, the mysteries would be finished. God hid them from the world, and he said great. The Bible said great is the mystery of godliness. And so, it's a great mystery. It's a great mystery. You can only understand it as God gives it to you. All right, if we had a little mountain on this side, Brother Taylor, put me a little cross right here and a little cross right there. Yeah. I'll have to kind of get into the mind of the Lord here, and then as I get into the mind of the Lord, I'll know what I got wrote down here. But like I say, I'm as lost as you are on it until he brings it back to me. Now, let me say this tonight. How many of you understand that this carnal mind up here is a negative? This is a negative right here. It's just like a Kodak. You slip your negative in here, which is the carnal mind right here. All right? Now then, when you look out the windows, which is your eyes, and you look out yonder, you see a tree image, you see a rock image, you see a house image. Now, the light, which is the sunlight behind that, that light behind that causes this negative image, which is your carnal mind, to take a picture of it. You might say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's what it is. If you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, get in a dark room, cut all the light out, get it just pitch dark and see how many pictures is taken up here without any light. It works just like the camera. So that means that all a human being is, he just got a little brain work up here and he's got about 22 conductive nerves going from the eye to the brain, and all he is just a creature with a, like that, a puff of life within him, just got his heart going like that. And I explained it here one night, just how fragile it really is. I spoke about taking the can, some of you remember it, filling it up full of fluid, you know, turning it bottom side up right quick where it can't get in the air. And when it goes, the going out, it goes glue, 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 and the sides will come in and out just like your heart, and it'll pump, and that's all you are. The Bible didn't say that God put life into you, it said he'd give you the breath of life. God himself is life, but said he breathed the breath from life into you. And he has got you going glue, 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 glue. And that's the way you got to go. That's all there is to temporal life. And you might not believe that. But if you don't step out in front of a car, it don't have to hit you. It can scare you to death. And it'll like, you won't glue anymore, and that'll be the end of you. That's all there is to you. Just a little breath of life. Now, okay, how many of you understand what I'm saying? So then this is a negative. Right up here, it's a negative. That's all it is. It just takes pictures. And as you look around with these eyes here, it's just a few little eye nerves just going around in images, passing across them. That's all there is to it. And the light out yonder helps you to get a negative. Well, you know what a negative is. It's a black piece, just like this blackboard, and these whites showing through it here. This is just like a negative. You've seen it. Well, when the anointing isn't working in your life, even though you've got those images up there, you can't see them. But just as quick as the anointing comes in there, then the anointing flashes on there in the light, and it's just like projecting it on the wall with a slide camera, and everything that's in the negative has come to life, and it's big and it's real. Otherwise, it's just dull up there, and you can't hardly see it. And this is the same way in reading the Bible. Scientists say that you don't never forget nothing that you learn. You get it every bit up there, and you just get a negative or a blueprint of it. And then it's all the anointing leaves, and it just goes out just like it ain't up there no more. But just as quick as you start talking with God, and then the anointing comes, then the light comes on, shines through the negative, and then it projects itself on the wall, and it's just as big and as alive as ever. And so what we're trying to do here is to put a negative in your mind in the sense of projecting the image of the written word and the revelation into your mind here, that sooner or later you might get into the anointing to teach people and it come right back. Let me say this if I can here. You might have a school and you might have 10,000 young'uns in the school or children. But in that school you might not have over 10 or 12 teachers. Because the children are going to learn in part, but the teachers have to know all the parts. Or that is, all the parts of the grade they're going to teach anyway. And have to be acquainted with the other parts. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Well, God gets together a little group for teachers that He might indoctrinate you, that when the hour comes, that you might be ready to go and teach the children this great revelation. So you come together as a small group of teachers. The others, they don't understand what you're talking about. So then when you get this revelation, there's going to be a, what I understand, about 3 years for you to give it to the world. And that's going to be about all. And if we can get this revelation, then we can teach it to the world. So this is what I'm trying to bring out here, is I'm just like you are. If the anointing don't come and light up, well, like Brother Gene said one night, he had a dream where folks just lit up. And if I can't light up, well, I can't tell you anything. Now, just like here, for instance, we got these three crosses up here. All right? Now, I'll probably refer back to these crosses as I have a chance to. I'll probably refer back to them. This cross right here and this cross right here will be connected together right here to show a symbol. I'll let Brother Taylor, if he will, to put that together now. And then when I get into the mind of Christ, well, I'll try to show you what we're trying to do. I know it might not make good sense right now, you know, but it will. All right. Now then, over here, we'll take our first aspect again. The natural aspect of it was the Jew. You remember that. Last night, we took all three of them and spread them out in step after step. And you got some continuity of it. Then we come back and we broke this one down into three parts. After we dissected the whole operation of God into three parts, then we come back and we took the first part, which was the natural part, and we dissected it and cut it into three parts. All right, the reason we did that was to show that the church in the wilderness, which was right here, around from Canaan land all the way back around through Egypt and the wilderness, right back to Canaan land, we did that to show the journey of the church that was in the wilderness. That's why we did that. To show the journey of the church, we told about the giants, how that they couldn't move out too fast. If they did, the beast would take over. How many remember that last night? You remember me saying that? All right, now, I hope you didn't let these things slip. I hope you remembered them. All right, now then, over here, if you recall, I took my time last night to try to make it real clear. Over here, I showed the journey of the pilgrim, and I showed the battle between the Jew and the Egyptian that's over in the Holy Land. I stressed to the people last night that there is a real Holy Land in the world. That this is the map of the real Holy Land, just like this is the map of the real United States where we live. And this is the real map of the real Holy Land. The place where Jesus was crucified is over here. The tomb is still over there. It's a sight for people to see. And in our age, many people are going over there to the tomb. Many of them are going there and viewing it because it shows the time of the rapture when people are going to be driven back to the east. A lot of preachers are going over there to show the light here in the United States is going out and moving back to the east. Now, I tried to bring this out last night that there was a day gone by when a real living man, just like me and Tom and the others, walked a natural earth, a natural man walked a natural earth and talked to the natural water that we drank and told that natural water to just part hither and thither. And the Bible said it done it. And there was a natural man by the name of Moses that went up on right here. You see it right here, Mount Sinai. He climbed up on this natural mountain over yonder. in the Holy Land and got it right up to the top of that natural mountain. And the Bible said that the glory of God came down on that natural mountain in this natural world. And it was so wonderful that even if a little rabbit got near it, God said that he'll never get away alive. So then, Mount Sinai right here. Paul, in his teachings, he referred back to Mount Sinai. He said that Abraham's two wives, he spoke of the two wives, and he said one of them answers unto Mount Sinai. Now, how many believes in types and shadows and allegories? This is Bible terminology. You can read it in the Bible. Paul spoke of allegories. He referred back to Mount Sinai. He said he had much revelation. He expounded it to the church. He said one of the wives of Abraham, Sarah and Hagar, he said one of them, which was Hagar, answereth unto Mount Sinai, which means she's connected with Mount Sinai, which is the law. He said, answereth unto Mount Sinai, which now is, which means in existence, which now is and is in bondage with her children, which is now in the world and in bondage to her children would be the way that we would say it. So then Mount Sinai, he said Hagar is a type of the natural Jew that's in the world that's under natural bondage of do's and don'ts. But he said Sarah, her name, or rather she is the mother of us all because she is a symbol of New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, and she is the mother of us all. That's the heavenly Jerusalem that's not under bondage. Well, we know that between the natural Jew and the spiritual Jew, we have a different mother. That's the natural mother of the earth, which is Hagar, that's got them under bondage. Paul said to the beggarly elements of life, our mother is the heavenly world of Jerusalem that's got us in continuity with her because of the love and the blessings of life. You understand what I'm saying? And it's shown to us in a type by the natural Jew and the Arab. The natural Jew and the Arab. Because the Lord said to Hagar, I'll make a prince out of thy son, and from her son, Ishmael, came forth all of the powers of the Arab nation that's warring against the Israelite nation right now. You read it in the paper, see it on the television. They're having war because, they say, well, why are they having war? Because the Arabs believe that they are the son, which is Ishmael, and that Abraham is their father and that country belongs to them. Isaac, which is the Jew, believes that Abraham is his father and that country belongs to him. So then they're having war over it. Well, there is a natural, was a natural man over there. There's still natural Jews over there. We brought out how they were cast out of the kingdom into the darkness and proved it had to be them, that it couldn't be us down here in this age, whether it be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So then we see that Mount Sinai was the place where the glory of God was shown, and that's why I have this put right here, Brother Taylor put over it, Moses. That's why I had it put right there to have a reference. Mount Sinai was the place where Moses went up into the mount and he got the first covenant right there. All right, Brother Taylor, if you will, put law up under that cross for me right there. That's good. Now, there was a natural Elijah that walked the natural earth that called a fire down from heaven and destroyed 50 natural men. Called it down again, destroyed 50 more natural men. There was a real Elisha that had a double portion of what Elijah had and done twice as many miracles as Elijah did. And 40... two she-bears come out of the woods, kill 42 of them because they just called him baldy. And he probably was bald-headed, but God didn't like it because they called him baldy. So you say, well, will the Lord be that touchy? Well, I tell you what, I'm just getting a little bit overweight, maybe a little bit more than I think I am. But anyway, I had a person, I've never known him to be fat, that's done getting on toward the, maybe 40 years old or something. Never known him to be fat. They made one remark about me being overweight and they got fat and all out of proportion. Another fellow come along, always been a little skinny feller. I mean a little skinny feller. He made a remark about me getting overweight and he got so fat he couldn't even hardly sit on a piano stool. So you see, several times it happened. So God's real touchy about his anointed. You believe that? Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So then we see it's not just the minister, it's you too, because you are the anointed of the Lord. So I'll put the fear of you upon all the land of the earth. They will be afraid of you because you are called by my name. All right. So then we see here in these three parts, We see the type and the shatter. We broke it down into this rim here, and I can't stay over here with this rim long, but I wanted to stress this one point was here in this rim, right here. It was here in this rim that God did miracles in the natural. He did miracles in the natural. A natural man looked at the natural sun that's shining in our world today and told it to stand still. That moon up yonder that our people have spent thousands of dollars trying to get control on it, one man stood on the earth down here and didn't even have to go up in a rocket and just said, stand still, and that was it. He had control over it, Brother Beachy. He didn't have to go up there messing with it. He had control over it. So you see how that Paul speaks of the knowledge of today. It's science, which means knowledge, falsely so-called, because there ain't nothing to it. It's just a lot of make-believe, and that's all there is to it. In the end, it ain't going to be nothing. So then we see how that God used this and opened up the Red Sea, controlled the sun, and miracle after miracle took place. That was over there in the first rim. Now then, coming over to the second rim, this is the rim right here, the middle rim. We're leaving the Jew rim and leaving the Holy Land, leaving the Jew country, and I can show you a little bit on the map here what we're doing. We're leaving from the Holy Land. Leaving from the Holy Land, you can't see it. I know that you can't see it out there, but I can kind of point it out to you here anyway. It's kind of little. But anyway, we're leaving from the Holy Land. And we are going from the Holy Land, which is along in here, right here. Here it is, Transjordan, right there in the stick. We're leaving from here, which that whole map is made of there. And we are going from here over to the United States, right there. That's where we're leaving from, going here over to here, but not right now. We'll go over to here, we'll be on this map. But what we are doing in moving from Jordan right here, or from the wilderness, from Egypt, from Canaan land, from Palestine, moving from there, going right along over here in Rome. Rome, Italy, going right over to Rome. That's going to be our second step. Now the sun comes up in the east. At high noon, it comes up to Rome, we'll say. The gospel sunlight. And that's where the fierceness of the battle really was, for the heat of the rays of the sun, as we would say, was poured out on the Christians in Rome. All right, now then, in this rim right here, there is so much in this rim that, well, if it was possible, just to give you what the Lord told me just this morning, it would really be astounding, just what He's told me this morning, let alone through the years. I hope I can get enough to frame something in your mind to where you can kind of understand it. Right here, it shows the God rim. It shows the God rim right here. And I hope we can get a hold of this. This shows the God rim because this represents the cross. This represents the cross right here. This is where, over here, this is where the Christians met the cross. So let's take this whole map as Rome and forget about the two ends of it here. Just take it as Rome because we've got the two ends over here. So here in Rome, Italy, was where all the trouble was because this is the rim of God right here. In Rome, Italy is the rim of God. It's shown by the Antichrist. He set himself up as God. Now then, you can read and you'll find out it was what they call the Dark Age. They don't have any record much of it. Even the intellectuals of our day has had trouble with keeping a record of the Dark Age. They just couldn't hardly keep no record of it. They just didn't know what went on. Fox's Book of Martyrs is one of the best records, I guess, they got of it. And during that time, Christians, you know, some of you how that they split them open and put corn in them and called the pigs to eat out of them like troughs. They took them and they tied them down, their hands and their feet, and they put cats on them and enraged the cats and caused the cats to scratch their very entrails out. And then they pulled them apart. They put them on two, what do they call it, Brother Taylor? Anyway, they fasten their hands over here and fasten their feet over here. And then they pull them apart. He knows the name of it. I can't think of it. But anyway, then they put them to a horse and pull them apart or drag them to death in the street. They've done horrible things. They've done things to women that wouldn't even be fit for us to talk about here. It's just unbelievable what they did. It takes a mind of cruelty that's beyond the wildest imagination to be able to do what they'd done, but it was horrible. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you'll see that that is true. And you read a little bit about communism, and you'll find out they're doing the same thing. Johnny Lee, you've heard me tell it. Johnny Lee said he never knew that a man's tongue was long enough to nail to the floor until he run into the communists and he saw them take an instrument and pull the tongue of a human being out, put it down to the floor and nail it to the floor and let the human being strangle to death on his own blood. You say, what does this mean? This means this is what you're going through with if you reject Christ. If you fail to have Christ, this is the thing that you're going through with. The Russian Jew, you heard me tell it. I got it here. We're going to put it in a book someday if the Lord ever permits. Just what took place when they took over in Russia. But he told of some of the awful things that they'd done. How that they lined men up. They dug a trench and lined men up. Run a wire through their hands and held them there. Pushed them off in the ditch. Covered them up to their head. Then after they covered them up to the head, they took the horsemen, which is called the Caesars, and turned them loose on the people, and they trampled their brains out with the horses. Who could think of such a thing to do? And on and on and on. But nevertheless, that was right over here in Rome, Italy, in this middle rim right here. This is the rim of the red dragon, which is the bloodstream. Now, when I say bloodstream, I want you to understand what I'm saying. This is the rim of physical humanity. This is the rim of human anatomy. This is the rim of the beast, which is flesh and blood. All the world wondered after the beast, which means they wondered after the flesh. They wondered after the beast, which is the outer man. There is a continual warfare between the inner and the outer man. The outer man is a beast. And Paul said, though the outer man is crucified or destroyed, the inner man is renewed day by day. So the battle is between the inner man and the outer man. The outer man is your worst enemy. You might think Brother Pike's your worst enemy. But Dad, the worst enemy you'll ever have is that outer man. That's that first Adam. The Bible said the first man, Adam, is made a living soul. The second man, Adam, is made a quickening spirit. The first man, Adam, is earthy. He's of the earth. He loves the things of the earth. But the second man, Adam, is a quickening spirit, the Lord from glory. Here in this realm is human anatomy. This is the beast realm. I brought out last night that God created Adam in this realm over here, which is the angelic realm, God realm, but he fell to the beast realm. And he's in captivity, has skin put over him, and the inner man is in captivity to that so long as he lives upon the face of this earth, unless he can find the way to get out of it. That's what the wilderness is the carnal mind. And if you can't find the way to get out of the carnal mind, you'll wander and die in the wilderness. All right? Notice that this rim over here now is our water rim. Three bear witness in the earth, the water, the blood, and the spirit. This is the water rim because this is immediately after the days of Noah. This shows the days of Noah right here. That is the water rim right there, which is the world of vegetation, the agricultural rim, which is the world of vegetation, and the life of all vegetation is water. That's the first witness of life, is the water witness, which is life to the vegetation or the natural. This is the second rim right here, which is the rim of human anatomy, which is the beast rim. This is the second witness called the blood witness. The blood witness right here. This is the second realm of human anatomy called the blood witness, which the beast lives off. This is where the trouble is. This is natural birth. Right here, the trouble is with blood and natural birth. Right here. And I'll prove it to you. Right here is the trouble in the middle realm, and this is the beast realm of human anatomy where the blood is right here. That's why Jesus had to spill the blood, and this is the second witness, which is the blood witness. You understand what I'm saying? All right, that is the life of all flesh. The life of all flesh is the blood. That's the blood. The life of all flesh is the blood, because that's the second witness of life in the earth. This right here, I want to say again, is the water witness. God gave the great flood in the days of Noah, a great deluge, and that deluge, as far as I can tell, caused the whole world to be tilted. That's what scientists believe, and I kind of believe it right. None of us don't know unless God reveals it to us, but they believe that it tilted the whole world, and I do too. Anyway, when it had the great deluge, when the water came down, then the world was tilted. It became tilted on its axis.
How many of you know that that's what it is now? It's tilted on its axis according to scientific studies. Is that correct? All right, now, if God works in a trinity or in a triune pattern, then when the world got tilted, what had to happen? Man had to get tilted. Is that right? Heaven had to get tilted. Everything. If we could go into the book of Revelation tonight, I can show you by revelation in the written word that everything is tilted on its axis. Why did the world have to get tilted on its axis? God made it upright. Because when man was in the garden, God made him upright, but he got tilted on his axis. He got out of continuity with God. And so then the world had to be tilted to show it. Everything in the natural has to show it. And then what else? Heaven had to get tilted on its axis. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, do you really believe heaven actually got tilted on its axis? It certainly did. The Son of God had to suffer shame, had to die and come down to this world and become a human being to tilt heaven on its axis, to show the shame and sin. It had to partake of the shame that you partook of because a man would not walk upright before God. That's right. So then here, the great deluge, which was the flood, right here, one of the greatest events that ever took place in the history of the world. It was a real flood, and God took that flood right there. He took that flood, and that flood was one of the greatest events in the world, and He gave us a witness of the water saying, I am God. He wanted men to know that He was God, so He gave us the water witness. Over here in the second realm, He done the same thing. He took a human body, and He put a cross up, and He took a human body, and He got into that human body to endure the suffering, to be partakers of your infirmities, of everything that you'll ever go through, so that not one living human being could ever come before Him and say, God, you just don't understand. Because everything you've ever been through, He's been through that and many, many times much more. So then we can't say that, can we? The Bible said He was made a near kinsman that He might be a high priest that could be felt by the feeling of our infirmities. He's living in your heart, and every time you suffer, He suffers. Every time something goes wrong, He feels it. You might say, well, I can't believe that. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. So then it's obvious that He does feel the feeling of your infirmities. When you suffer, the Lord Jesus is within you, and He also suffers. Is that right? The Holy Spirit knows when you suffer, He suffers. And the Holy Ghost within you feels the same infirmity that you feel. So then here, God brought about a great turn of events. He put a cross right here in this middle part right here and made it the middle wall of partition. So then this middle part here is the middle wall of partition that Jesus Christ broke down right here. Here is the cross right here, and the middle wall of partition is broke down right here because this is where the trouble is right here. This was the part He was going to destroy and nail to the cross. God took a human sacrifice, and He spilt the blood of a human being, the finest that ever walked the earth. Why did He do it? It was one of the most astounding events that ever took place. It was one of the most outstanding things that ever took place in the earth. Never before in the history of the world, never again has God ever took a human sacrifice and made it perfect, walked perfect before it, and then lift it up and smite it and kill it and destroy it and make it suffer. Never before. You say, God's cruel to do that. That was God smiting His own self. That was God feeling His own pain and own suffering. That was God tasting death, because God is a spirit. He cannot die. But He wanted to taste death to see what death was like. He wanted to taste suffering. He wanted to taste everything that you'd ever taste, because that was the only way He could do it, was in a human body. He put on a human body. He got in that human body. He come down here and He tasted death, and He did it for every man, if every man can believe in it, to where every man won't have to taste death. He tasted it knowing what you'd have to go through with, that He might deliver you from it if you was willing to go along. You understand what I'm saying? All right, here in the middle realm, this is the human anatomy realm, and this is the great realm of trouble. In the book of Revelation, if you want to read the book of Revelation and read the seven seals, you'll find out that this is where the great part of the seven seals took place, right in here. Now, you believe I'm telling you the truth? Read over there where the Bible said the stars fell from heaven, and see right here If stars means Christians, if we go to the third dimension, you'll find out they mean Christians. And you go over here and see if they didn't lay their hands on the heavenly lights of the spiritual angelic realm and cast those lights down and trample on those lights right here. Check it out and see if they didn't do it. I know it was only a type of what was going on, but that's what they did right here in the middle realm. In the book of Revelation, it tells you how that even those stars was up there in the heavens. They were up there. But the red dragon cast his, took his tail and curled his tail around a third part of them and cast them down to the earth. This is the realm of the red dragon. You understand what I'm saying? I'm speaking of human anatomy. I'm speaking of the red dragon in the physical realms. I'm speaking of the red dragon in the physical realms. You'll have to understand what I'm saying now. This is the red dragon in the physical realms. You say, well, what need is that for me to know that, Brother Pike? All right, the Bible said the moon's going to turn to blood. It's going to turn to blood. Where is he speaking from? The middle realm of human anatomy. It's a type. It's a type. That moon's going to catch on fire. You watch and see. Blood means fire. You got to understand what he's saying. God speaks to you in types and shadows. You understand what I'm saying? I'll prove it to you in just a minute. If you know types and shadows, God can talk to you just like me and Brother Gonzalez can talk. You've got to be able to talk his language. If I go to Mexico, I got to be able to talk his language. That's why I got along with Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. He could talk his language. If you can talk a man's language, you can get along with him. All right, look, when John in the book of Revelation saw great waters and the beast come up out of the waters, do you actually believe it's going to be a horny beast come up out of the ocean out yonder? The Bible said waters meant people. Is that right? Types and shadows, that's exactly what it was. Right here, this is called the blood realm. The blood realm. This is the realm of the red dragon right here. The trouble in this world is the blood. And you say, Brother Pike, you must be eccentric, you must be crazy. But the trouble of this whole world is the blood. It's the blood. Why did God, who is a spirit, spill the blood? Why did he want to do away with the blood? Why did he want to take a human sacrifice and nail it to the cross and spill the blood? Why did he want to do that? Because that's where the trouble was with the blood. When Cain and Abel come together, Brother Ernie, they offered their sacrifice. One of them knew the trouble was the blood. And when he got there, he offered a little lamb. He killed the lamb. He spilt the blood. Then Cain come along. He offered the fruit of the ground. God did not receive it. Cain got angry. God said, sin lieth at the door. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. No remission. Even in the Old Testament, in the water realm that we spoke of right here, what did they have to do? They had to shed the blood of innocent beasts. Just any kind of blood won't do. You understand what I'm saying? Just any kind of blood wouldn't do. They couldn't just go out here and just get any old heifer out of the flock. They couldn't go out here and get any old bull out of the flock, Brother Taylor. It had to be the firstlings of the flock. And it had to be one without spot, wrinkle, or without blemish. It had to be a meek, gentle beast. You understand what I'm saying? We are killed all the day long and count as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in this we are more than conquerors. It has to be a church without spot, wrinkle, without blemish to be that lamb. Is that right? All right, David Terrell said, God said, behold the lamb. Behold the lamb. The lamb is coming on the scene. Somebody without spot, Brother Delmer. Somebody without wrinkle. Somebody without blemish. Somebody that's a gentle-natured beast. Somebody that, you say a beast, yes, a gentle-natured beast. This outer man is the beast. We're talking about the beast realm where they fell from the God realm to the beast realm and got in captivity to the beast realm right here. Who has to be killed? I know we got brute beasts. The Bible speaks of mean beasts, brute beasts, made to be taken and to burn. But we're speaking now of the church, the gentle beast, the lamb that was offered up as a sacrifice in the blood realm. In other words, the blood was spilled for the remission of sin. Cain did not have the revelation in his day. Abel had the revelation. Cain come up there probably with a basket full of beautiful fruit and something that he had pulled out of the ground out there where he'd raised a wonderful harvest and a wonderful garden. You've seen the same thing in our day. Evangelists come in and they offer the things of the flesh, their ideology, their feelings, their desires, their plans. But God did not accept this. He said, I will not accept it. And so then he rejected it. Here come along Cain. What did Abel offer? Abel said, here's my body, a living sacrifice unto God. That's what it symbolized. You say it, Lord, and I'll do it. Your will be done. You tell me where to go. You tell me what to do. You tell me how to do it. Here I am, a living sacrifice. The Bible said he spilled the blood. When he spilled the blood, it was from a pure, innocent heart that he spilled the blood, and God received the blood. And the Bible said that it atoned for the sin, or that is a type of the atonement until the day when the blood of Jesus Christ, which was the human sacrifice, could be made. Now then, we know that a man is, let me say this, in that garden, the nearest thing to Adam was a man. And we say it was a beast. In the garden, the nearest thing to Adam was a beast. That's true, it was a beast. But what is a beast? The Bible said the whole world shall wonder after the beast whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. They will wonder after the beast. What is the beast? It's the outer man. They will wonder after flesh and blood. They will wonder after houses and lands and cars and money and prestige and fame and popularity and all these things. That's the beast. That's the carnal mind. Why did Adam die to start with? Do you know why Adam died to start with? If this revelation that I'm teaching, if it can't bring you from death unto life, then I've wasted my time. Why did he die to start with? He couldn't do nothing else because he got into the carnal mind. The Bible said to be carnally minded is death. He got into the carnal mind. He got into man's mind of reason, man's mind of knowledge. He got into man's mind. That's death. It's enmity with God. He died. The Bible said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He said, lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The steps of a good man dead are ordered by the Lord. Walk in his path. Do what he tells you. Obey the Lord. So then, he died because he got into the carnal mind. He was perverted over from the God mind to the man mind. God created Adam in his own image. Is that right? Made him in his own likeness. Who was he? The Bible said he was the Son of God. Before Adam fell from the garden, he was the Son of God. He was. But he fell down to the beast image. He lost his identity. He lost his image. Now, I know this. A lot of folks say we are made in the image of God. We look just like God. Well, I'll tell you what, if we look like God, he must look like 100,000 different things. That's right. Some of us are big, some of us are fat, some of us are little, some of us are skinny, some of us are bald-headed, and some of us are this way, and some of us are that way. You know God don't look like that. No, you look at a person long enough, and you say, well, he looks like a monkey, or he looks like a baboon, or he looks like a gorilla. And just look at him long enough, and you figure out what kind of beast he resembles. It shows that they fell down to the beast realm. That's right. They fell down to the beast realm. They lost their identity. Now, to show you they lost their identity, the Bible says that we don't know what he is like. Now, if you look like God, then why is it I don't know what he looks like? The Bible said we don't know what he's like, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him. Is that right? When he appears, we'll be like him. Is that right? When he appears, because the inner man is going to come out. God in the garden was creating the man-child. That's what he was doing. He was creating the man-child, and back there, that garden and all was just a type. God was going to use 6,000 years to create the man-child, and the Bible said when he got him created, he's going to come and visit with him in the evening time. But in that garden, there was something that was the nearest thing to the man-child. He was the nearest thing to a God-man. Adam was a God-man. He was the nearest thing to a God-man. What was he? He was a man. That's what he was. The nearest thing to a God-man, which is a son of God in this world today, what is he? He's a human being. That's what he is. The nearest thing to a God-man in this world today is a human being. If I get up here and I preach to you, if you don't understand, and if I preach to you and I tell you that God has made us gods, then you wouldn't believe it. When Jesus came into the world, he was... How many believes he was a man? Somebody said, well, he was different. No, he wasn't different. Somebody said, oh, yes, he was different. No, he wasn't. He was just as much man as your man. He spilt his blood just like you'd spilt your blood. He suffered pain. He had sex desires just like you have sex desires. Somebody said, oh, no. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. He was tempted just like you're tempted. He went through everything you went through with, but he denied himself. He denied the flesh. He was partakers of everything that you've ever been partakers of. And if you don't overcome it, and God comes, you come face to face with him, you say, Lord, I couldn't overcome it. He's going to say, yes, you could, because I did. Yes, you can. You can do it. He had to have a place to sleep, Tom. He had to have food to eat. He had to have clothes, clean the wire. He sure did. That's right. So then we know that Jesus was a man just like we're a man. He got tired. He wanted to go to sleep. He had to have rest. The Bible said he and the disciples left to get away to get some rest because they had no leisure in so much as even to eat. The people didn't even give him a chance to eat, wanting to have the revelation of Christ. So then we know that he was a man, every bit of man. But what kind of man was he? He was a God-man. He was a God-man. That's what he was. So then when he come talking about these things, working miracles, they said never man spake like this man. The things he talked about, we never heard such a thing in our life. He sat down at the age of 12. He got the wise men around him and began to talk with them. They said, we never heard anything like it in all of our life. Never man spake like this man spake, because he was a God-man. He was a God-man. And so then Jesus was a God-man. And they looked at him, and Jesus, they wanted to stone him to death. And Jesus said, for what good work do you want to stone me? He said, we don't want to stone you for your good works. He said, but you being a man, make yourself God. Now, how many of you know where he made himself God? I want to show you something. Somebody said, I wouldn't make myself God for all this world. Let me show you something. I'm going to show you something here maybe you've never even considered. They said, you being a man, make yourself God. Where? Where? Where did he do it? Tell me one time he ever told him he was God. I'd like for you to show me one place in the Scriptures, Brother Taylor, where he ever said he was God. Can you show it to me? Where did he make himself God? He told them that he was of God, didn't he? Did you ever say that? You ever say that? You ever say he was of God? Is that right? He told them, I'm a son of God. Did he tell them that? In so many words, he told them. He said, because I say to you that I'm the Son of God. You say that I blaspheme. When did he say he was the Son of God? He said, God's my Father. That's when he said it. How many of you ever called God your Father? That means you said you was the Son of God. Is that right? They said, you said God's your Father. If a chicken has chicks, it's chickens. If an eagle has babies, what is it? It's eagles. If God has children, what are they? It seems to me like we ought to see that. It's God. If you're born to God, you've got to be a God. There's no way to get around it. You say, what is a God? A God is something that cannot die. He said, you're God, but you die like men. Why? Because of your unbelief. He said, unless you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. That's what he told them. You believe that? All right, then what was he trying to say? He said that if they could not recognize that he was God manifested in the flesh, they would die in their sins. There's no way to get around it. Now, I made this statement not too long ago. You have a prophet to come among you. What is a prophet? He's God made flesh. That's what he is. What is the purpose of God? It's to make the spirit flesh. This is why Jesus told him, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. Because his word was word flesh. His body was word flesh. Word flesh. He said, my body I give for the sins of the world. You've got to eat his body. Somebody said, well, I can digest Jesus, but what about these preachers? How many of you know that we're the members of the body of Jesus Christ? There, don't you know that we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you can't digest my flesh and drink my blood, Jesus said, you ain't got no life in you. These men sitting around here, if you can't digest their way of life and suffer their manner of life and suffer their way of life, you're just as lost as you can be. They've got to be the Word made flesh. Somebody said, but in the fullness of the body was of God was Jesus. The Bible didn't say that, did it? Did it? The Bible said that Jesus was God. The fullness of the Godhead was in Jesus Christ. Is that right? The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Jesus. The fullness of the Godhead. Well, where is the fullness of the body? If Jesus was the Godhead, where is the God body? Paul said, ye are the body of Christ, members in particular. Is that Bible? If it's Bible, say amen to it. If it ain't Bible, tell me to sit down. I want to stay in the Word. My revelation ain't worth taking the time to teach, Brother Ernie, if it ain't God's Word. It's got to found on God's Word. Other foundations can no man lay. Where is the God body? You're the God body. Do you mean that the head would be more God than the body would? Is my head more George Pike than my arm is? Could it be? Could it be? Is it possible? No, sir, absolutely not. My arm's just as much George Pike as my head's George Pike. That's right. Jesus was the first brother among many brethren. Paul said, let this mind be in you that was also in the head, Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. Didn't look for no reputation. He didn't go searching for no reputation. Made of himself no reputation. But the Bible says he was the head. We're the members. Have the same mind that he had. What kind of mind did he have? He said, unless you believe I'm he, you'll die in your sins. That was his mind. That was his mind. Somebody said, wait a minute now. Let me tell you something, folks. When Moses went down there into Egypt, he come down there and the Word was made flesh there in their day. Come down there and he was preaching as much as he was allowed to be in that day. They said, who sent you? Moses, he went back up there. He won't know. Well, I know. Who is it that sent me down here? So he went over to God, up on the mountain to God, and he said, God said, they won't know who sent me down there. He said, you go down there and tell them I am that I am. Sent you. Jesus come over there, and Judas come up to him and said something to him. The others come up to him, and they want to know who you are. Or is this Jesus? He said, I am. I am. What was it he was trying to tell us? That God is the God yesterday, today, and forever. God is a spirit. It's not you that speak, but the heavenly Father that speaketh within you. You're the one that forgives sin. You're the one that does it. The Bible, Jesus said, it's my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Is that right? Judgment shall begin at the house of God. Who are we? That's why the Bible said that the world waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world longed for the day when Jesus the Messiah would come to the world. They longed for it. They looked forward to it. Why? Because he was the I am. He was the I am. If he was the head, then is the head any more the I am than the arm is the I am? You know, I believe we get a little afraid sometimes. Somebody said, now look at here. I am looking here. I'm going right down the Word of God. If you can prove me wrong, that's what I want you to do. That's what I'm here for. Who was the I am? God, not Jesus. Jesus was a fleshly body. Who was the I am? The Bible said that Jesus said that the Word in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same came forth and put on flesh and dwelt among us. Is that Bible? What was Jesus? He was God in the flesh, incarnated in the veil. Is that right? He walked in the human body of Jesus Christ. He talked in the body of Jesus Christ. Is that right? He was God made flesh. He said, lest you eat my flesh. Now, what would he want them to eat his flesh for? Well, they said, you must be a cannibal. You being a man talking about somebody eating your flesh, you must be a cannibal. The Bible said they did not know that his words were spirit. They did not understand that his words were spirit. Jesus didn't mean for them to come up there and cut a chunk off of him, but they said, this is a hard saying. Said, we've been with you and we've... Well, they didn't have big tents and tractors, Brother Delmer. Some of them got in the state. And when I say that, I'm not mocking. I've had tents and tractors. All that's good. I want you to get the wrong idea. I don't mean that. I know the brother's got a tent. I'm glad. We'll probably have one too, the Lord being willing. But and I'm not mocking those things. God is doing a work under the tent. He's doing a work in the church. He's doing a work among them out there, just like he is us. But 70 disciples walked with him. They healed people. They worked miracles. They were noted men across the nation. These men were noted for great works. But when Jesus began to preach revelation, they were lost as they could be. They'd worked miracles. They'd done signs. They'd done wonders. But when it come down to the mystery of God, the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness.
great in the mystery, for he was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels and caught up into heaven. Those 70 men were sweeping the nation with signs, wonders, and miracles. They come back and said, even the devils are subject unto us in your name. And still couldn't even understand the revelation. Now, is that right? Is that Bible? When he said, lest you eat my flesh and drink my blood, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can receive it? The Bible said they didn't know that his words were spirit. All he was doing was preaching a spiritual revelation. That's all he was doing. That's all he was doing. Preaching a spiritual revelation. He had 12 men that could stand the saying. That's all he had. 12 men. And I'll tell you something. When this thing narrows down, it's going to be few there be that find it. That God-man, that God-child, those manifested sons. I know the others are children. I know they are. I know they've got revelation. You can go from here to California. There's people in California that's got revelation. There's people in Florida that's got revelation. But I'm not talking about revelation. I'm talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation said that God gave unto Jesus Christ the revelation. This is what we've got to have. We've got, like I said today, going up yonder at the Western Auto, what did I see? There was a bat with Revelation wrote on it. I looked and there was some charcoal. Revelation. The name of it was Revelation. Brother John went and bought a jug to take up to Kentucky. What was it across it? The product was named Revelation. What is it? We're in the Revelation age. God is wanting us to get Revelation-minded. He said when you come together, have a doctrine. That's one thing. He said, have a tongue. That's another thing. He said, and have a revelation. When you come together, it's the order of the church to have a revelation. We've got to have a revelation if we ever help the people. How many of you know that this is the church of revelation? This is the church of revelation. Paul said, I magnify my office because I am the apostle to the Gentile church. I'll go to the Gentiles, take a bride out of it for my name's sake. Is that right? Is that right? He come to this age to get a bride. How did he do it? By revelation. Paul said, my much revelation. My much revelation. That was the only way he could get a spiritual bride, was through much revelation. So we're in the human anatomy realms where the blood is, and this realm is the connecting realm between this realm and this realm. Dealing last night with the water witness, the great flood, one witness in the earth of the water. Dealing tonight with the great aspect of the cross where the blood of Christ was spilled here in human sacrifice, the second witness from heaven, which was the blood. Over here is the third witness, which is the spiritual witness. The spiritual witness at Pentecost, which was the third witness. But God let it die. He let it be killed out, that it might not be manifested in the days of Peter, because it was time for the second witness. And he brought it way over here in the end of the world and brought in the revelation age. And this is the only Pentecost the world will ever know. That Pentecost came just to introduce it. It died. And now we're living in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. This is it over here, the third witness. I know that might be hard to receive, but that's the truth, so help me God. This is the day. This is the age. This is it over here. This is the great day of God over here. This is it. Now, are you following me on the things I'm saying? All right. So then, we know that God is trying to make the Word flesh. His whole goal, His whole motive, His whole endeavor was to make you a God-man. I brought it out last night about Superman. You remember how I used simplicity for the children and brought it out last night. And so it is. We are more than men. We are Superman. Yeah, I know Hitler, he thought that too, but we are. We are. We are God-men. We are God-men. Not only God-men, but I'm going to say more than that. I say that ye are gods. Ye are gods. Ye are gods. What is a god? Something folks ought to worship. Oh, wait a minute now. Oh, look out now. Well, what do you do to a god? What do you do to a god, Brother Gene? You ever heard of a god that folks didn't worship? He said, I'll make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. Is that right? Sure. A god is something that can't die. It's something that must be worshipped.
The whole world is groaning and waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. You say, Brother Pike, do you believe God would actually give His glory to another? No, sir. I certainly don't. The Bible said His glory He will not give to another. But I'll tell you one thing. This is not another. When you get the Church of God, you got another. When you get the Assemblies of God, you got another. When you get the Pentecostal, you got another. But when you get the elect of God, the body of Jesus Christ, that's Him, that's not another. His glory He will give to His own body. That's right. He said, Father, make these one as we are one. Glorify me with the glory that I handed thee before the foundation of the world. He said, the glory of this latter house shall exceed that of the former, which was the Jew. He's going to give us His own glory, Dad. His own glory. It's going to translate us. Whatever He is, that's what we'll be. The Bible said we'll sit down in the throne with Him. Somebody said, well, it ain't big enough. The Bible said heaven is His throne. That's a pretty big place. How many of you sitting in His throne with Him tonight? Are you? Are you sitting in His throne with Him tonight? The Bible said that He's chosen us out of this world, and we're sitting together with God in heavenly places whom the heavens have received. Jesus, with Jesus. The heavens have received Jesus. We are sitting together in the heavenly places with Jesus whom the heavens have received. How many believe Jesus is in heaven? The Bible said we are with Him. We are with Him. Oh, you say, I can't get a hold of that. Well, I'll tell you what. This is the crossing of Jordan. You've got to believe your way out of this world. If you can't get your mind to believe, if you can't believe yourself across the boundaries of carnality and believe yourself above a natural man and believe yourself above a natural substance, you'll never get across Jordan, because that's what Jordan is. You've got to believe yourself over it. How many times has God ever, since the beginning of the world, ever worked anything without faith? How many times? Somebody said, well, He can do it if He wants to. He absolutely has bound Himself to His Word. He cannot work without faith. The Bible said Jesus went into a place, and because of their unbelief, many mighty miracles He could not do. It didn't say He didn't do them. It said He couldn't do them. He's bound by the laws of His Word. He can't do it. We've got to believe our way out of this world. Believe ourselves out of the world and into the ark, which is the Word. And let God shut the door and send the wrath and sail away home. We've got to do it. We're going to cross Jordan. This is the crossing of Jordan. I want to tie them together, God being my helper, when I finish all of them, and prove that we're crossing Jordan, that this is it. This is it. It's got to be it. It's got to be it. Hallelujah. I tell you, I really feel, I don't know how I do feel. But anyway, this is Jordan. We got right here. I wanted to make some reference, if I could. Right here, we got these things up here, the little mountains, and we got the crosses here. I wanted to give an illustration on them. I had them wrote up there. Dude, you remember how we went through those last night? It looked like you understood them real well. And I want to go through them tonight with you, if you'll bear with me. All right, now, look. Now, tomorrow night, if the Lord being willing, I'm going to come back to this tree and use this tree for an illustration, but tonight I don't want to do that. Look right here at Moses. Here is Moses on the mountain right here. God gave a law to Moses right here on Mount Sinai. I pointed out over there in that world. He's Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Here on Mount Sinai, here God gave Moses the law, but did they keep the law? I brought it out last night. They did not keep the law. That's why they didn't get out of the wilderness. I brought it out last night that these seminaries, denominations, the natural preaching of the Word, the natural preaching of the Word is Moses. The natural preaching, they got the biggest following in the world. Moses had 6 million people because he did not require anything. He did not preach holiness. He didn't preach nothing. You could bob your hair. You could have lipstick. You could be buff. You could do anything you want to. He didn't require nothing. You can go to these churches of today. You can go to the revivals of today. They don't care what you do. That was Moses. He went down to Egypt to get them. But he didn't go to get the church. He didn't go to get the church. No, sir, that was the rain on the just and the unjust, where God was drawing the people to Him. Just like when Gideon chose 3,000 men, that wasn't the church. How many of you know it wasn't the church? That wasn't the ones that was going to win the battle. When he got through, he just had a few hundred men. After he had proved them and put them to the test, God said, you go down there and get them. He got 6 million people
brought them out of the land of Egypt. How many of them made it across Jordan? How many was it? Two men, Caleb and Joshua. Somebody said, well, God, well, he wouldn't do that again. Oh, yes, he would. Oh, yes, he would. When he went down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, how many come out, Brother Ernie? I tell you what, if he doesn't do it, he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever if he doesn't do it. He said, few there be that find it. Over in Sodom and Gomorrah, who come out? Nobody but Lot and his wife and two daughters, and she looked back, and I cut it down to three. Three of them got out. How many in the days of Moses? Two of them got out. How many of them in our day? One, the body of Jesus Christ. That's the only one that's going to make it. Come down from three to two. How many of the days of Noah escaped? You see, the Lord cut it down all the way. Cut it right half in two. All the way. Eight in the days of Noah, was it? Four in the days of Lot, was it? Two in the days of Moses, was it? One in our day, the body of Christ. Cut it down every time. So then, 6 million people, we would say, come out of Egypt. Egypt was the world. You can come out of the world and you can be a Baptist. You can come out of the world and be a Methodist. You can come out of the world and be a Presbyterian. That's Egypt out there. You can come out of Egypt, but that doesn't do you any good if you get in the wilderness of denominationalism and you don't have the revelation. God called them out, but the Bible said with many of them, he was not well pleased. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. We've got a church world full of people, but do you believe every one of them is pleasing God? Everybody that believes every one of them is pleasing God, I want you to raise your hand. The Bible said with many of them, God was not well pleased. Is that Bible? He was not well pleased. For the Bible said many of them looked back into Egypt and said, where's our garlic and onions? Many of them turned back into Egypt in their heart, though they kept going with Moses. And the Bible said that God slew every last one of them. He let them wander around in the wilderness. They never did find the revelation of Canaan land. They mumbled and they grumbled and they complained and they danced over the golden calf up here and they broke the law of Moses and they died in the wilderness. Is that right? Yes, sir. And I'll tell you something else. They stayed in the wilderness till they got right over here too. Right over here. I'd like for you to put Martin Luther right over the top of this cross. They stayed in the wilderness. They never did get out of the wilderness. From that time until the days of Martin Luther, they remained in the wilderness. The people did. They never got out of it. They continued in it because they broke that first covenant, which was the law. Put faith right under there, brother, if you will. Then there came a time when God was determined to set his people free. Put Christ right here, will you? There come a time when he was going to set them free. Noah, can you do that for me? Over this cross right here. I want to try to illustrate something right here, if I can, if you'll bear with me just a little bit. All right, right over here, we're going to use... Now, right here, I'm going to put Columbus over this right here. But don't forget what I said last night. If I try to go into that tonight, it'll confuse you. But last night I went into it about the rims, how they break in two. And you got it real good last night. I was really surprised that you could get it as well as you did, but you did. If I go into it tonight, it'll confuse you. But you'll understand here what I'm trying to say. All right, from Mount Sinai, they broke the law. They got in the wilderness. They journeyed. And they never got out of that wilderness until they come over here. Now, I know that in this third dimensional realm, they went into Canaan land. I broke it down into three parts and showed how they went right on in. Joshua picked them up and took them into the Canaan land, which was a type that we used in this circle over here. And I'm talking about the whole thing now, humanity. I'm speaking of mass humanity all the way from the days of Adam over to this. Great is the mystery of godliness. The Bible said the mysteries of God should be finished in the last days. All right, look right there. Here's Moses right here. What did they do? They broke the law. They never did get out of the wilderness. They wandered around and wandered around. Got over here to the Catholic age and they were still in bondage. Blood was shed. Never had nothing but wars and troubles and perplexities. But what happened when they got over here? What happened when they got over here? God gave the second covenant. He took away the heart of stone placed within them, a heart of flesh, and gave them a law of faith that they could not transgress. I wish tonight that it was possible for me to explain to you the same way the Holy Ghost explained to me, and you that have the time and the terminology to tell you just exactly what happened. Just this morning what he's told me. Right here was faith. We see Martin Luther right here, God bringing it over to this third age right here where he was going to get the church. Jacob labored over here for this church. Is that right? He labored over here for this church for 7 years. He was laboring for Rachel. He wound up with Leah. Is that right? The daddy said to him, the father-in-law, said it's not lawful to take the younger before the elder. According to the laws of nature, you can't take a peanut. How are you going to grow a peanut without growing the hull? That's the laws of nature. According to the law, you can't take a spiritual man without taking a fleshly man. Jesus never did want the fleshly man of Adam, which was the living soul. He never did. What he wanted was the second man from heaven, which was the second Adam, a quickening spirit, the Lord from glory, made in his own likeness. That's what he wanted. Jesus was the second man, Adam. He was that man-child that God spoke of right here. Had a water witness in the days of Noah. Come over to the second witness, which was Christ. We had a blood witness right here. This great blood witness is shown right here by this map in the second dimensional step right here. This great blood witness here. There was blood spilt in the days of Rome. They spilt blood. They continually spilt blood. There was thousands upon thousands of people destroyed. In 70 A.D., when Titus come in, he come in to cause a war and destroy the people, thinking that he was doing something. And history states that so many people were slaughtered, so many people died, there was such a massacre that even Titus got down on his knees, or got out and called on God and said, this must be the hand of God set for this many people to get killed. And I never intended anything like that. They were killing them outside the gates. Everywhere they met people, they were slaughtering them. Even Titus realized it was the hand of God. Are you following me? So then we see right here, the days of Moses right here. What was this? This showed the garden right here. In the days of Moses, it was a wilderness, as we're taught. But it showed that tree of knowledge, which was the tree of death right here. That's what it showed. In the days of Moses, it showed the law to get a knowledge of the natural word of God. In this Mosaical realm, in the seminaries of today, is only to learn to do right and not be able to perform it because you don't have the Holy Ghost within your heart. That means judgment to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. The soul that sinneth shall surely die, and ye shall surely sin. But there's no way to keep the law. There's no way to keep the law without the Holy Ghost. There's no way. Absolutely no way. So then Moses right here, it showed that tree of death that was in the garden back there, where a man had to partake of it. In so doing, he died. The day he learned the law, Paul said, Once I was alive without the law came, sin revived, and I died. And that which I trusted in, he said, it rose up and slew me. Oh, wretched man that I am, he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? For in Romans, he said, within me I have a desire to do good. And I want to do good, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God that in this inner man I serve Jesus Christ. How? By the Holy Ghost, doing what? Fulfilling the law, every jot and every tittle on it. In my inner man, he said, though in the outer man I see the law warring against me. He said, in so much as the law was weak, in so much as the law was weak through the flesh. How many of you know that the law was never weak? The law wasn't weak. There was no weakness about the law. But he said the law was weak through the flesh. That is, the flesh couldn't keep it. That gave a weakness to the law in the sense that the flesh was weak, not the law. But he said the law was weak through the flesh, and what the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh, then faith over here or grace could do it. That's right. So then he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, which is the beast body? Who'll deliver you from that beast body that's got Adam in captivity out there? There is a continual warfare between that inner man and outer man, that son of God and that beast. One of them's got to die. There's a crossing out there. One of them's got to die. It's got to die. If your will don't die, you're going to hell. If the will of Christ dies within you, you're going to hell. If the will of Christ lives within you, then the outer beast will is going to die. That's why Jesus prayed, "Father, not my will be done, but thine." I want to say this just before we go another step. The Bible speaks of will worship. How many of you know what will worship is? You can will yourself to go to church. You can will yourself to pray. You can will yourself to fast. You can will yourself to give an offering. You can will yourself to go preach. Yes, sir, because of personal ambition and desire, you can do it. That's will worship. The Bible said these things have a shoe of wisdom, but it's not the unction from the Holy One. The Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One. We have a stirring to go preach. We have an unction to go preach. We have an unction to fast, an unction to pray. We have a divine unction to do this and to do that, which is the unction from the Holy One. We have an unction. This is the will of God, not born to the will of man, but of the will of God. Jesus said, "Father, not my fleshly carnal will be done, but your will," which is the Bible. "Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do thy word," or thy will. The volume of the book is His will. We have an unction from the Holy One to obey the Word in everything that we do. All right, what is here? On Mount Sinai, they broke the law. We come over to the faith of here where Martin Luther said, "The just shall live by faith." And we see God bringing in a divine restoration. I took a long jump over here and I tied these together to give us some kind of continuity. And I have to go back and kind of break them down. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. I'm speaking in the realm of human anatomy, of the body, the soul, and the spirit. That's human anatomy. But these three maps show body, soul, and spirit in mass humanity, the Jew, the Catholic, and the Gentile. But what the Lord God of heaven did in this one God-man, in this one body, in dissecting it into three parts, what He did right here, He did in your heart. Brother Taylor, would you help me right here? Right here, I'd like to have a body on the cross, right here. That's right. I just leave the body of the cross right there. Put me a body in a grave right here, and a soul in hell right here, and a spirit in paradise right there. I want to try to show you something here to where you can get a picture of it in your mind to where it won't be confusing, and you'll understand what I'm saying. When the Lord Jesus hung on the cross, God cut Him up into three parts, we'll say. The Bible said that the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Those people were natural-minded just like we are until we get into the revelation. And when Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days," what did they think He was talking about? What did they think He was talking about? The Bible said the natural-minded Jews thought He was talking about a natural temple, that the natural building was going to bust wide open. Why? Because they were in the natural realm, Brother Ernie. A natural temple did bust wide open. But there was another realm, which was the soul realm, of physical human anatomy. What was He talking about in that realm? And there is another realm yet to come. But in this realm, what was He talking about? The veil of the temple, the Bible said they understood not. They understood not. There's a lot of people today, Brother Floyd, that they understand not. They understand not. They understood not that He was speaking of His body. His body. When you say rent in twain, the temple was rent from top to bottom. It was rent in twain. What did it mean? It meant that His body came, His spirit was separated from His body. Twain means two. Separated the body from the spirit. Is that right? Look what happened right here, and let's see if it's right. Jesus was crucified here on the cross. God broke Him up into a trinity right here. You believe it? He laid the body down in a grave right here. Is that Bible? They took His body down and laid it in the sepulchre of Joseph of Arimathea. Is that Bible? All right. Then His soul went into hell right here. You believe that's Bible? The Bible said He suffered not His Holy One to see corruption, nor His soul to remain in hell. Is that Bible? Then His spirit right here went into paradise. You believe that's right? You believe it's Bible? The man that hung on the cross over here, what did he say?
He said, when you come into your kingdom, said, remember me, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Is that the Bible? Sure it was. Right here, what was the Lord doing right here? He was breaking that thing up into a trinity. Why? So he could deceive the whole world. That's what it was for. Absolutely what it was for. The Bible wanted the trumpet to give an uncertain sound, Brother Delmer, so they could not prepare themselves for the battle. Trinity is absolutely antichrist. It's of the devil. You believe it? You believe it? Trinity has deceived the whole world. That's what it's done. What is Trinity? Trinity is dividing the body of Jesus Christ up into three parts. That's what Trinity is. Who did that? The devil did it. Who was responsible for the death of Jesus? Sin. Sin is what caused his body to be cut up like that. You believe that? What caused the division between the mass humanity of the earth? What caused the people to be in a trinity? The Jews are separated from the Catholic, and the Catholic is separated from the Protestant. What caused that? I know this is only a type, but in the true church, sin did. Sin did. That's right. Sin, Brother Ernie. That's what caused it. All right, then what is it right here? The Lord Jesus paid the penalty, or just ripped apart, torn apart, that he might show what was going to happen to God's creation. God was in this body, in this veil. God is the Spirit of life. How many of you know that everybody in this church and everybody out yonder in the world, that life that's in that body is God within the veil? Life is suffering because of sin. Cancer causes life to suffer. That's why men like Brother Baldwin want to cast the devil out of people. That's why they want to speak the word and heal people, because sin and corruption is destroying the temple of God. That's why we preach healing. That's why Brother Al prays for the sick down yonder and brings miracle to the people. Why is it? Because God is life. He said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I come that you might have eternal life, abundantly filled up and overflowing. God doesn't like sickness. Death is God's enemy. I hear people talk about death like God and death walks hand in hand, like they're the biggest friends in the world. There's never been a bigger enemy of God than death. Death robs God of his creation. The Bible said death is God's enemy and the last one to be conquered, but we're fixing to conquer it. We're passing over Jordan. He said, prepare victuals because we're going over. So then, what is it? Right here on the cross, God conquered death for every man right there. They took that brazen serpent, they lifted it up in the wilderness right there. Every man that looks on that brazen serpent said, he that knew no sin was made like unto a serpent made sin. But how many of you know there's such a thing as a king snake? He's harmless. He doesn't hurt anybody, but he can kill any kind of snake. There's no kind of snake that I know of can stay with a king snake. He'll kill him. So then, the king serpent in his type was lifted up here. Moses took his serpent, went down in the wilderness, down into Egypt. They threw the rods down, it turned into a serpent, but his turned into a king serpent. And it swallowed every one of them down. They tell me that's what a king snake does. That is, go right down there and swallow him up. So then what was it right there? God doesn't want men to die. I tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost when I talk like this and I realize what God's doing and what God's done. He doesn't want men to die. My dad's sitting out there, his hair turning gray, the color's gone out of it. The Bible said when John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, his hair was as white as wool. He's getting closer to his Maker. Getting more in the image of his Maker. Why? Because he's getting close to the crossing of Jordan. But I'll tell you something, Dad, we don't have to die. God doesn't want people to die. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We'll not all die or sleep, but we'll be changed. We'll be changed. Hallelujah. So then death is God's enemy. God conquered death right there, if we can believe it. He conquered death in the wilderness for the church in the wilderness. If they'd look upon the brazen serpent and believe it, Moses said, you don't have to die. He said, you can go right over into Canaan land. Is that right, Brother Taylor? Did he do it? They did it. Now I'll tell you, if the serpents ever was biting the people of today, they're doing it today. Evil spirits have devouring the people. Cancer, paralysis, TB, everything. But if you'll look upon a brazen serpent that God lifted up, you don't have to die. You don't have to suffer with TB.
You don't have to suffer with insanity. You don't have to suffer with anything if you can look on the brazen serpent that God lifted up, because it'll kill every one of them. Where is it manifested? Right here. According to thy faith, Martin Luther. According to thy faith, so be it unto you. You'll have whatsoever you say. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, can believe and doubt not in your heart, he said, you'll have whatever you say. Where did it come from? Right here. Contend for the faith that was once given unto the saints. Joshua said to the moon, sun, to stand still. Contend for the faith that was given unto the saints when Moses controlled the earth. Contend for the faith that was given unto the saints when Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. He said, contend for that faith. You say, where will I get it? The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing of the revelation, which is the word. My words are spirit. It was at the supper of the Cana of Galilee when he turned the water to wine. If I've got a little potion of the mind of Christ, I've got a little bit of the faith of Christ. If I got a little bit of the mind of George Pike, I got a little bit of the faith of George Pike. But if I get the whole mind of Christ, the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. You'll have the whole faith of Christ. What is the mind of Christ Jesus? It knows everything. It knows everything. That's the mind of Christ Jesus. You believe we're supposed to know everything? I've heard people say there's some things we're not supposed to know, but the Bible doesn't teach that. We have an unction from the Holy One. What is the unction? That you should know all things. That ye should comprehend the heights, the depths, and the widths. Is that right? How many of you know the mind of God? Christ was the mind of God. How many of you know the mind of God knows all things? Sure, how would we ever be the body of God if we couldn't know all things? Praise the Lord. You see it here in the scientific world. Where they're shooting at the moon, they're comprehending all things in this world, Brother Taylor. They're comprehending all things. That's a type of it. If they can do it in earth, we can do it in heaven and earth. They just got a potion. That's, you believe that? That was Moses. It's got a potion. It's just natural knowledge, but we're going to have a double potion. You just wait and see. We're going to get God knowledge too. So then when Jesus died on the cross right here, what did he do? In that natural earth, they placed his natural body. Scientists have learned there's a fire in the heart of the earth. It's melting the rock mantle. It's breaking through the mantle and coming forth. That fire in the heart of the earth. They've gone down so far with what they call the Moholy, can't go no farther. All right, what is it right here? In that natural earth with that natural body. Down into hell with the soul right here. Into paradise with his spirit. When the rich man looked across the great gulf, you remember it? The Bible said he saw out Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, the rich man across the great gulf. He saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Is that right? Is he? Rock of thou my soul in the bosom of Abraham, the song says. What is it? It was paradise. That's what the bosom of Abraham was. It was paradise. How many of you know that in your bosom is the kingdom of God? That's paradise. He was called a friend of God. Where was he? He was in the paradise of God because he was called Abraham was called the father. Now we brought out last night Abraham, father to the Jew. Peter's called the father to the Catholic. They say it was the first pope. George Washington's called the father of the Protestant, which is over here. Brought out in the three ages, so we'd have a continuity on it. So then, look, Jesus died on the cross, shared the body in the grave right here. This is the Jew. This is the body, mass humanity, right there in the grave. Cast into outer darkness. I brought it last night. The kingdom of God come after John. Men pressed their way into it. These Jews, the children of the kingdom, cast into the outer mind of carnality and darkness, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Eichmann killing them out over there. Why? Coming from the east and the west, which is the bride coming in, setting down in the place of the children of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. Men pressed their way into it. Is that right? Men pressed their way into it. I made the statement last night. It said the children of the kingdom is cast into outer darkness. Cast into outer darkness. How many of you know that's the children of the kingdom? Now, you say, Brother Pike, that means in the last days. I said this last night. Do you actually believe that I'll live a Christian life and become a child of the kingdom and God will cast me into outer darkness? You know you don't believe nothing like that. No, it was talking about this right here. Cast into the outer darkness, for the Bible said he cut them off till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. They were enemies for your sake, but their beloved for God's sake. Out of Zion shall come forth a deliverer, and turn ungodliness away from Jacob.
and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. That's the Bible. So then, here is the body. Right here, Brother Taylor. Right here, the body. It's right here in the grave. You see it? Mass humanity of the Jew, right here, in the grave. Here it is, right here, cut off from God, dead, knows nothing about the real plan of salvation. Here it is. It's shown by the Amish people in this third dimension, not over here, Brother VHS. Why your people can't come in right now? So then, here it is, right here. You see it? All right, what is this? His soul went into hell. When the Christian people went into this middle realm, the Catholic people killed them out in such a measure, the Roman powers destroyed them until they were literally in hell as they passed through the sage right here. When they went over to Vietnam, I said it's a type of hell. Finally, the papers published it and said it was like hell. I had this, Delmer had a boy work for him, Gene. Gene wrote my Dale a letter, and I happened to get a hold of the letter. He said, Dale said, it's like I'm in hell in this place over here. What long before they begin to lose the sole of their shoes, showing the soul being lost. They had to send a special shoe over there so they could keep it on their feet. God's work is perfect. Made all things beautiful in His day. Right there, the body down in the grave. The Bible said as they walked along the road of Emmaus, and He talked with them, said, they knew it was Jesus, said, didn't our hearts burn within us as He talked with us, by the way. And I tell you something, when He talks with you, your hearts will burn within you. There's the body right there. Went down in the grave. Here it is, right over here. You say, Brother Pike, do you mean God will actually speak to us? He said, it not be you that speak, but your heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. I know it'll be your vocal organs. I know it'll be your rusty vocal cords as it is mine. But it won't be your mind speaking. It'll be the God mind speaking through His members of His body speaking to His people. That the mysteries of God might be finished. It has to be like that. Right here in this, here is the Jew, here is the body in the grave, right here. Right here is the middle part where the soul went into hell, right here. Went into hell, suffered, right here. Brother Taylor in hell, right here. This was shown. Look in the book of Revelation. Read about the opening of the seals. Read about those things that happened in the days of John. Go back and make a comparison. And then when you get through, see if I haven't told you the truth and see if the seals don't lie right within there. They're right in here. Went down into hell right here. The soul did. What was it? It was shown to the Catholic people. What is hell? It's fire. What is the middle rim? It's blood. It shows fire. It shows fire. That I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. What is fire? The blood of Jesus Christ that consumes the evil. That's why the pillar of fire was with them over here in the wilderness. It was the pillar of fire. I'll baptize you with the cloud which gives you the rain and with the Holy Ghost which is the fire. Is that right? When Brother William Branham came over here in this day, did God send the same pillar of fire? Did He do it? Have you ever said in His meeting, the same pillar of fire came back to the church? That same pillar of fire is with us right here tonight, whether you believe it or not. Through your natural eyes, you can't see it. The Bible said the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost. This is the Spirit of truth that's speaking to you. The world cannot receive it because they don't see it. But is that right? But He is the pillar of fire. At Cana of Galilee, at the marriage, He took and filled the water pots up. Is that right? He filled them to the brim. How many of you know that they preach to you till you fill to the brim? How many of you know that? You're filled to the brim. Is that right? You say, well, I'm not. That's because you haven't been listening. Well, I've been listening. I'm filled up to the brim, and I just love it. Said He filled it up to the brim, and then what did He do? Said, let's turn it into revelation. Turn the water into wine and get the stimulation of revelation. Did He do it? Brother Zell out there, he really gets a hold of some good thing. He don't know it, but I got into his pad the other day. Hallelujah. Wasn't yesterday the third day, Brother Zell? Is that right, according to what you discovered? Yesterday was the third day. What day was it when He turned the water into wine? On the third day. At the marriage supper of the Cana of Galilee. Turned the water into wine. Right here. I was telling tonight about that big piece of meat coming up out of the waters between 1,400 and 1,800 pounds. And them men was out there carving it and shaving it up. And I said, watch for the oil. Oh, the Eskimo use it for light.
snow shows glorification. Right here, that's the land of the midnight sun, called the land of the midnight cry. Right here, the body went into the grave. Right here, blood, hell. Right here, the soul went into hell. Is that right? The Catholics going into the second realm. The Jews going into this right here. Is that right? Where did this people go right here? They went into paradise, into America, into Canaan land, the land of milk and honey. Oh, you've had a paradise. You think you've got problems, folks. I know you're beginning to move into peerless times now. I know suffering is beginning to come now, but you've been in a paradise. You'll find out that you've been in a paradise. You wait till it starts like it was under Antichrist, and they rip you open, and they take your little child, and they jerk him out of your arm, and they rip his little stomach open, and throw him out there, and pour the corn in, and call the pigs. You'll know you've been in paradise over here. You say they wouldn't do it. Yes, they will do it. The Japanese took it. I saw it on film where the Japanese come up to the mothers, and some of you probably saw it. They jerked the little infant babies out of the arm like my Dale's baby right out there, took that little baby, and one got on this arm over here. One got on this arm, and they swung him, stood there before the mother and swung him. And after a while, they give him a flip up in the air, and they throw the bayonet up and let him land on the bayonet. You say they won't do it. They did do it. That's the reason our boys got so mad. That's the reason they got fierce like they did, and they just got to where they gouged their eyes out or anything else. They got mean about it. I tell you, that makes a man feel pretty bad, Brother Al. So then, right here in paradise, what happened? Here we are in paradise, living in big fine homes, driving big fine automobiles, got big fine bank accounts. Do we take care of the world? Do we preach the gospel? No, sir, as far as the America's concerned, let the world go to hell. They don't care. They don't care. Let them all die and go to hell. What do they care about it? Is that right? They don't care. They say, statistics say that they spent more on dog food than they did on publishing the gospel. Now, Dad used to say to people, gone to the dogs. I believe it. I believe it. They'll nurse a dog and take a dog to the hospital, and I believe we ought to take care of the dog. I believe that. I believe in spiritual revelation that there's people in this world of dogs. Jesus called them dogs. There's people in this world that are swines. I believe that. But you can have a pet. You can have a pet. You can be nice to him. I meet men that I know are dogs, but they're gentle dogs. Use them for pets. I'll give to them. I'll help them. I'll stand by them. I'll be kind to them. They're beasts. I know they're beasts, but they're not brute beasts. I give them the crumbs that they can't get the... The Bible said the bread is for the children, which is Revelation. If they can't get it, I give them some little bit of something they can get. There's one thing they can get. You have a revival, have the Spirit of God coming down. He pours it out on the just and the unjust. They can get that. They can get the wooing. If they're supposed to get the crumb. They're supposed to get the crumbs. Is that right? So we ought to be kind to them. I believe that. I don't believe you should be mean to them. I know some of them, you just have to dip your sword in their blood, brute beast. But right here in paradise, where did it go? Right over here, Protestant people. These Protestant people right over here represent paradise. Now, how many of you know that this right here shows the mass humanity dissected into three parts? You understand what I'm saying? Now, this is why Christ cannot come back to the world. Where are we at today? The Bible said Daniel down in Babylon began to fast and pray, Delmer, to lift up his voice to God, saying, God, make me to know what's going to come on my people in the end time. The angel of the Lord comes sweeping down out of heaven, stood over there beside him and said, oh, thou beloved man of God. He said, I'm sent from the presence of God to give thee skill and understanding that you might know what's going to come on the people in the end time. And I'll tell you something, when we get compassion, when we get love, and we're willing to devote our whole life to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when we've got no personal motives in it for gain, no personal desire in it, but just say, Lord, here am I, send me, and give my whole life, He'll tell us what's going to come on in the end time. He'll do it because He's concerned about His people. He wants you to be concerned about them. I don't mean to get to preaching, but I'm just trying to point out a few things right here. So then you see what I'm talking about. Here, the blood rim. Here, the paradise rim over here. Here, the grave rim. Jesus can't possibly come back as long as His body is divided up like that. He can't do it. He can't do it. What has He got to do? Watch. Right here, they're going to form the National Council of Churches because this is the God rim right here, the blood rim. Life is in the blood. That means God, the life, is in the blood. This is the middle rim, human anatomy rim, right here. What is it? Antichrist will have to come up from Rome right here in this middle rim. What will he do? He'll tie the two ends together. This end and this end. How will he do it? In the National Confederation of Churches. The National Council of Churches. He'll tie this with this and this with this. You believe that? When he does, what will it mean? It'll give us our type and shatter. It'll show us how close the end of the world is. When these tie together in this confederation of religion under Antichrist, it means that once again the true body of the Lord Jesus Christ has been divided, has come together. And the Bible said if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the Gentiles, a revival to the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but the resurrection, which means life from the dead? That's right. When we get over here in this third rim tomorrow night, if God will help us, I'll show you it means exactly that by revelation. What is it right here? The body, the grave, the soul in hell, the spirit in paradise. You see what I'm talking about right here? I said last night this would take a little longer because I have to tie both ends together when I'm dealing with this end right here. Tomorrow, if the Lord will, we can get into this and go right into a pattern of spiritual revelation, go right down. But I broke this down into three parts. Right here, the realm of agriculture. Right here, the water world. The world of vegetation. The life of all vegetation is the water. Now I've got to break this down into three parts, which is the human body. The blood realm, human anatomy. Break it down in three parts. Why? God is a Trinity in one. That's what He is. He's a Trinity in one. He never was but one God. He never was. In the garden, He was one God. But when He had to break His body down to show what happened to humanity. He had to do it. All right. Now then, look right here and see if you understand what I'm trying to say right here. Here is the body. Now, I want you to see this. I know you will. We're getting down to some of the revelation part of it right along here too. Now then, this is the middle rim, the blood rim. Blood is the red dragon. Blood is the red dragon. You believe that? You believe we've got power to kill him? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can do it. We've got power to kill him. I understand the Pope done away with a saint that killed him, but we got power to kill him. Got power to kill him. Right here, there's the blood rim right there. Right there. There's the blood rim. There's the spirit rim right there. Over here. Right here. The blood rim. This is where the trouble was. This is where the blood was. This is what caused all the trouble. The life is in the blood, which means the spirit is in prison to the blood. At death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it, which means as long as this blood life has your spirit within it, that blood is the middle wall of partition that is between you and that eternal life. That's why, Brother Baldwin, that men have to fast like they do. They fast to do away with the blood. They fast not to get rid of the blood, but to get rid of the energy of the blood. To get rid of the will of the blood. To get rid of all the desire of self-will that's in the blood. Why do they do that? Because as long as you've got human energy, you haven't got God energy. You believe that's Bible? Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Therefore I glory in my infirmities. I take pleasures in my necessities. When I have to sleep in a cave, when I'm stoning, when I'm bruised. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. That's when the anointing of God is resting upon me. That's why Freddie Gray was kept down like he was. Over there with a disease like he was to keep his body pulled down. That's why Brother Branham, as long as he walked the earth, had a stomach he never did get healed. Because God kept him weak. As long as he was weak, then he didn't have no physical energy, no physical desire, no physical urge to go out yonder into the things of the world. He just stay around in the woods and here and there and just kind of move around him. Weak and no resistance. And the Holy Spirit like a dove just coming down, just pouring heaven down in him. Just filling him up, just pouring heaven down in him. Then when I'm weak, then am I strong, Paul said. So here is the trouble right here in the blood realm. This is the trouble. Now then, you understand what I'm saying? Here is something I want to point out, if I can, right here. I want to point this out, if I can. We are in the human anatomy realm. What is this? Body, soul, and spirit. Where did Jesus go to? Into the body, into the soul, and into the spirit. Did he do it? Yes, he did. What was God trying to show us right here in the middle realm, which was the sun realm, which you are the sons? What was he trying to show us? He was trying to tell us that when he was in the garden with Adam, he could talk with Adam from the heart. But when Satan came in, darkness and light could not dwell together. You say, Brother Pike, do you believe that God was in the heart of Adam and had to get out and let the devil in? Yes, sir. Why? Because Adam never had learned right and wrong. God had no control over him. He never had learned right and wrong. God could have walked up and said, Adam, don't you know I'm your creator? Adam could have walked up and said, what makes you think so? I might be your creator. You ain't ever proved it to me. Oh, you say, I don't believe that. Yes, he could have. You say, you mean Adam would have done that? Well, why didn't God's word carry any weight with Adam? God said, Adam, thou shalt not do that, you'll die. Well, he didn't pay no attention to it. Went right on eat anyway. Eve did too. How much authority, how much power, how much control did he have over it? He had about as much control over Adam as some of you men have over your families. You can say amen or oh me. That's exactly right. So then, what is it? Why should a man have control over his family? Because his family showed the church. It showed the church. Let them be in subjection with all gravity, wife and children. All right, right here, body, grave, grave for the body, soul, here in the hell realm, and paradise, right here, the spirit realm. He wanted us to know that over in the garden, using the tree here as I did last night for a symbol, over in the garden, God was in man's heart, but he had to go out of him. Do you know that God created man to fall? I know this might not set right. But when God created Adam, he knew he would fall. He made him for the purpose to fall. Did you know that Adam could never be like God until he had failed? How many of you know that? Did you know that you had never been like God if you hadn't been subjected to sin? The Lord took Adam and subjected him to the things of this world to show the great holy attributes of God. Adam didn't know that God was a healer because Adam never had been sick to be healed. He didn't know that God was a Savior. He never had been lost to be saved. He didn't know that God was a great, powerful God that could take away all evil because he never had seen any evil. You understand what I'm saying? For God to manifest himself, what did he have to do? I made an illustration like this today, Brother Gonzalez, and I was talking. You take a man that's seen a world of light. He's never seen darkness. He don't know how to appreciate it. Take that same man and put him down in a dark hole and put a top over the dark hole, cut him off from all light. And after a while, you go out there and you take something and punch a little hole in and let one little stream of light come down and see if he don't appreciate that with all of his heart. And then you punch another hole and another hole and another hole, and after a while he finds out that he can punch holes and see if he don't punch holes till he can get back into that sunlight. Then he knows the blessing of the sunlight. He appreciates it. He worships it. He thanks God for it. And that's the same way that God was trying to do. We have to be made into a God-man, and God never said that Adam is as one of us until after Adam had sinned. Then he said he is as one of us. Satan said, if you'll partake of the tree of knowledge, then ye shall be as God. Is that right? God said, now he has become as one of us. Is that right? What did he do? He had to put him down here in this veil of flesh, let him suffer to reach down and reveal his great attributes and show that he was God. But we are to convert the world. They are perverted. Like you take a convertible automobile, you let the top back, you pervert it. You put the top back on it, you've converted it back to its original state. So then, man was perverted from the God mind in the death, in the carnality. But he must be converted back from the beast mind into the God mind. When he does, where is he going to be at? He's going to be in the garden. He's going to be in the garden. What is the garden? It's the mind of God. The mind of God knows everything, sees everything, thinks everything, sees the beauty of everything, speaks everything into existence. That's what the God mind is. You translate the King James Version, when they did that from the Greek to the King James, they didn't throw away the King James. They just changed the words, put it in its new form. That's all God's going to do. He had to let us be born in the world, get the negative, and then when he get the negative, had to get the positive. Let's look at it and see. Right over here, right here, and right here. You believe that's what God did? That's exactly. How many of you know this is the dark age right here? This is the dark age. You know what you do with the film after you take the picture? What do? You take it to the dark room. When you take it to the dark room, what do? You use the fluids. Is that right? That's where the blood and the mixtures come in right here. That's right. What was he doing? He was developing it. He got him a negative over here, which is a Jew. Is that right, Brother Taylor? He put him in the dark room right here. He developed him. You believe he did? Come out over here with the positive, which was the sons of God. You believe it? That's right, he did. So then, right here, I want you to see, there's so much I want to say, but I don't want to say it until I get over here. But I want to say a few more things here, and then we'll let you go if you just hold with me just a little bit longer here. All right? Now then, what was Jesus trying to tell us here? He split up all of mass humanity. Do you believe God actually done this to show us our spiritual condition? He actually had to come into this world in a God body and split that God body into a trinity to show you your condition in your soul and in your body. That's right. Where is your body? Where is your outer man? Where is he at? Where is he at? If you're crucified with Christ, the Bible said you are what? Buried with him in baptism. Is that right? How many of you know that John, you're a sailor? Is the water a grave? They bury him in the water. The Bible said the grave shall give up its dead. That's the only way God could bury us, was to use the water grave. He'd put us in dirt, he'd smother us to death. So he had to put us in the water. So then, if you're crucified with Christ, Paul said, reckon yourselves to be crucified. Why did he talk like this? Why? Because he had the revelation. That's why he could talk like this. So he said, reckon yourselves in your minds to be dead with Christ unto sin by the body of Christ. Where is the body of Christ? It was buried in the water grave in the name of Jesus Christ. You believe that? In his name. Why did Paul say, it's not I that live, but Christ that liveth within me? The life I now live, I live with the Son of God. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of Jesus Christ. Buried in baptism with him. For as many as was baptized in his name was baptized into his death, Paul said. Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin by the body of Jesus Christ right here. Oh, this would be beautiful if we bring it tomorrow night in the third rim. Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin by the body of Christ. Buried with him in baptism right here. Where is your body? It's dead. That's why you don't go to the dance halls. That's why you don't go to the frolics. That's why you don't get out here and have a temper fit. That's why you don't do the things of the world. It's dead. It's dead. You're dead. The Bible said, they that belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof. Is that Bible? You're dead. Right there, you're dead. What does this do? Paul said, a woman is married to a husband so long as he liveth. Is that right? But if he be dead, she be at liberty to be married to another. He was the law in his body. He was God in his spirit, which was grace. We are dead to the law by the body of Jesus. Where does sin come from? It comes from the law. It gets its strength by the law. Where does condemnation get its strength? Where does condemnation get its strength? When he can point his finger at you and say, you were supposed to do this and you didn't do it. I was alive till the law came. The law came, sin revived, and I died. So that which I found to be under life, said it turned out to be death because it was weak to the flesh. But he said, who'll deliver me from the body of this death? O wretched man that I am, I delight after the laws of God in the inner man. Who'll deliver me from my body, he said. Who'll take this wretched body of sin that's in the beast image away? Who'll do that? He said, I thank God that through Jesus Christ, one man in the garden sinned. Because of that one man's sin, everybody went under sin. He said, one man, Jesus Christ, died for sin. One man right here died for the whole world. It took sin off of the whole world just like it put it on there. If one man brought it on, then one man could take it off. Is that right? That's what Paul said. Wasn't no need of everybody dying. Just one man caused it. One man, the second man, Adam, could take it away. Here he is right here taking it away. Why do we have to die? Why do we have to go by the grave? Why do we have to be sick? Why do we have to bow down to the powers of evil? We don't have to. Right here was where Adam brought us under the law of sin and death right here. Is that right? What is the law of sin and death? The law of Moses. Sin gets its strength by the law. Where is grace right here? Then we are free from the body. That means that the body of Jesus was our husband. Is that right? The law was our husband. We was married to it, but we're dead to it. Now we're free to be married to who? If this is the dead Christ right here, by crucifixion, then we're free from the dead Christ. Is that right? From it, because he was the law in his body, that which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. That's what the law was. But we are married to the resurrected Christ, which is alive forever. This Christ was under condemnation, made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, to go to the cross. Everybody that was married to him went to the cross with him. In the Old Testament, if they killed the husband, they killed the wife and the children. That was the law. Is that right? So then, right over here, the resurrected Christ come up right here, Brother Taylor. We are married to the resurrected Jesus Christ. We are his bride. He said, because I live, then you shall live. Is that right? All right, let's look at it a little further, and we're going to close. I promise you, if you bear with me, I won't try to close. I feel like I've got to finish this just a little bit more right here. I understand why Paul preached all night when he got into Revelation. They said Brother Branham preached 8 hours, I believe it was. All right. Now then, the resurrected Christ. The resurrected Christ over here, this was the dead Christ, the dead Jesus. All right, now here's what I'm trying to bring out right here. Just bear with Brother Taylor. He's helping me here. He's putting these things down so you can get a picture of them. Now then, here is paradise right here, over here, mass humanity. What was the Lord doing? What is he trying to do? Where is your body? Where is your body? Where is your body? Where is it? It's dead. It's dead. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that's just a figure of speech. No, my brother, it's not a figure of speech. It's every bit dead. It's dead by the body of Jesus right up here. It's dead. Now, you say, why? What's the need of emphasizing that? Because if you're going to cross Jordan, if you're going to cross Jordan, you better know that that body of yours is dead. It's got to be dead to sin. And I'll prove to you tomorrow night why. It's got to be dead. Is it dead? Do we need to know this? Yes, we do. It's dead. Your body is dead. You are not active in your body. But you being dead right here, inactive, not taking part in the things of God, that's what your body is. It shows the church. Whatever the Jew is, that's what the church is. Dead. The body is dead. Why? It's dead because of sin. Why? The Bible said, sinful flesh. No good thing dwells within my body, Paul said. Oh, wretched body that it is. It's dead. Christ killed it, took it away. It was the beast. He slew it. We are free from the body of sin. Not I that lives, Paul said. Not the body that lives anymore. Well, who are you? If you're not your own body, who are you? Who are you? The Bible said the first man, Adam, was a living soul. Who is the second man, Adam? Who is he? Then the body is dead. The Bible teaches it's dead. It's gone. All right? You understand what I mean? What happened when the body died? Where did the soul go? Where did the soul go? You follow me? How many remember over here when they come out of Egypt, they went into the wilderness? That was the first dispensation broken down into three parts. They went into the wilderness. What was the wilderness? Brother Ernie, what was that place out yonder where you was at in the wilderness in the tide? I hope I remember to bring us out concerning Ernie tomorrow night. It was a desert. Brother Delman turned the water on. And the water, when it run out of the faucet, was so hot it would burn my hand. I couldn't even hold my hand under the water. Is that right?
when the rich man looked across the great gulf and he said, Abraham, he said, let Lazarus dip his finger in water and come and cool my tongue. Well, if Lazarus had took a ton of water down there, if he'd even got close to it, he'd had that water scalding hot before he even got close to hell. Even if it had a ton of water. Talking about a drop of water. What is it? Soul right here, it went into hell. Are you following me? Soul went into hell. When you fell from the garden and you sinned, brother, whether you believe it or not, blood is hell. Blood is the power of the red dragon. As long as your soul is in the bloodstream, as long as it remains there and Christ doesn't come and bring it redemption, as long as it remains there, you're going to be burned in the lust of your body. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. You try to get over and see. You say, oh, I can do it. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart and he couldn't do it. Solomon had no more wisdom than any man that ever lived. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. Burned in the lust of their body. Why? Because that soul is in that burning rim. It's in that lustful rim. The more you eat, the more lustful you become. That's why the Bible said not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So then, your soul was in hell. Is that right? When you died, your body in the grave, your soul's in hell, your spirit in paradise. Are you following me? Can you understand what I'm saying? Where is your spirit right now? Where is your spirit? Where is your spirit? Are you following me? The Bible said we are not of this world, but He has chosen us out of this world. Somebody said, well, that's just a figure of speech. You were just trying to get... How many of you know that God don't just use figures of speech? When the Lord God of heaven said something, it wasn't just a figure of speech. When He told blind eyes begin to see, He wasn't using a figure of speech. He said, I have chosen you out of this world. Out of the, what does it mean, out of this world? It means you're not in it. It means you're not in it. Somebody said, well, I'm in it. Well, if that's where you are, I can't help it. You better come up here where I'm at. I've chosen you out of this world. I have made you to sit together in heavenly places. Somebody said, well, that just means the Spirit's with us. Well, let me ask this question. Is the Spirit with that drunkard out yonder in the bar room? Is He? Is the Holy Ghost with Him? No, sir, He certainly isn't. He certainly isn't with Him. For we are made to sit together, where? In the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. Hid with Christ. Where is Christ? You know He went to the Father. Hid with Christ. Where is He? Paul said, whom the heavens have received. Where are we? He said, the heavens have received you. You're with Christ. Where is Christ? What are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm talking about getting over Jordan, getting out of this world, getting our faith up here to believe that we're in heaven. God's going to burn this world up. You've got to believe your way out of it. You might think you'll get out of it another way, but you just wait and see. Believe. What did the Lord mean when He said He'd come like a thief in the night? What is night? It's the carnal mind. Turn my people from darkness unto light, Paul. Is that right? It's in this carnal mind. That's darkness. I'll come like a thief in the night. What does the King James Version say? We are waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did they take that from in the Greek rendering? They translated it and said, we're waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Greek rendering, it said, we are waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that Bible? You check it out and see if that's right. So then, I will come as a thief, as a revelation. Let me say this. In this natural realm right here, the Jews will have a natural human body that will come back as a natural Jesus, because that natural head goes back to a natural Jew body. You believe that? All right. Over here in this physical realm, which is an intellectual world, God will come back as a what? As the Bible. As the Bible, as a printed page. That's the only God you'll ever see. Only say He'll come back as an intellectual God, which is the Word God, the law, death unto them that rejected. He'll come back to them because they're in the intellectual realms. He'll come back over here as a God of sight, because this is the realm of sight. This is the realm of understanding. But how will He come over here to this age? He will come as the Holy Ghost, which is a spiritual revelation right here. Everything that God does in the angelic realms is as an angelic being. Everything He does in the natural realms is as a natural being.
Everything he does in the physical realms as an intellectual thing is as an intellectual being. That's right. You say, I don't believe that. Who do you think is going to be these people's God? The Antichrist. Going to be one of the smartest intellectual men that ever walked on the face of the earth. I've heard Paul talk over yonder, and I can't even understand the words he says. Of course, he probably couldn't understand the words we talk either. Won't talk each other's language. But I can't even understand the words the man says. He's their God. He's their intellectual God. He'll rule the world someday, too. You watch and see if he don't do it. So then, God will come to them how? How will he do it? He must come to us in paradise as a spiritual revelation. Your spirit is caught up out of this world, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. It's received it. The heavens have received your spirit. Your spirit is in the only heaven it'll ever get into. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Men press their way into the kingdom of God, he said. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. The Jew will look by observation. He said it don't come by observation. They said, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? He said it doesn't come by looking for it. You'll never see it by observation. You'll never see it by looking up yonder, seeing it coming. It can't possibly do that. What is it? He said, the kingdom of God, folks, is within you. Jesus told his disciples, like if he was standing here, he said, Brother Al, you can't see the kingdom by looking out yonder, son. He'd say, the kingdom of God is within you. What is it within you? It is the little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump. Did you know I can get an education? Put a little education within me. And after a while, my mind of understanding, my eyes of understanding, all of a sudden I'll begin to see George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. You understand what I'm saying? I can see the whole intellectual world by education on the inside. I move into that world. What does that mind do? I said last night, it constitutes images. It is a composition of images. The carnal mind makes things. Puts them together, build houses, build roads. Let me prove that to you. Take the carnal mind. If you want to build a highway, what do? They go out there and get the sand. Well, you say, God's put the sand together. No, he hasn't. The sand's out there in billions of little particles. Is that right? Sure it is. It's in billions of little particles. You go out there, and whatever you get a hold of, even the atoms in the air, is in billions of little particles. You understand what I mean? But you watch the carnal mind, and what does it do? It goes out there and it grinds up the mud, it packs it together, it jams it up just as solid as it can be. It makes a wall, it makes a prison. It constitutes, and then it becomes a prisoner of its own constitution, or has to live within the its own environment of its own thinking that it itself has composed or constituted. Is that right? But what does the mind of God do? It decomposes. It decomposes. It takes apart. See right here? You see what I'm talking about? It decomposes. What does it do? It decomposes. It takes apart. Is that right? It decomposes and it takes apart. Why does it do it? It has to be able to do that to free you to where you can become a spiritual, angelic, quickening spirit. Because this body is a constitution that holds that spirit in the bondage. When Jesus was resurrected from the grave, what did he do? He walked right through the wall. He walked right through the wall. Nothing could hold him anymore. He went right through the wall. You understand what I'm saying? It decomposes. It takes things apart to where it can make you become an angelic being once again. Men can't receive this. They can't get a hold of it. Why did the brother leave? Not to make him a spectacle. He's fasting and praying. Why? He can't get into it. He can't get a hold of it. Fasted 54 days.
and can't get a hold of it. What does it mean? The Bible says right here, this is the reason right here. The Jews sought it as though it was by works. The brother fits in the Jew realm. Trying to get it by works, you can't get it by works. It comes by the mind of God, which is spiritual revelation. That's right. You can say amen or oh me, that's just the way it is. Got to come over here in this age. They sought it by grace. They said, we'll take it by grace. We can wear lipstick. We can bob our hair. We can chew. We can dip. We can drink. We can hop. We can do anything we want to, and God will give it to us by grace. They missed it. Over here they say, we can't get it by grace. We got to work. Work fast. Work fast. They missed it because they thought it by works. Is that right? But in the realm of God, the church said what? What did the church do? The church reached out to both ends, and said, we'll take both of it and put it together. We'll give all the glory to God. We'll trust in God, not stand up and say, I paid a price for this. Ain't nobody paid a price for it but Him. Jesus paid the price. For me to say I paid a price for it is to take His glory away from Him. He paid the price, and the only price that was ever paid. That's exactly right. Just like the other night I told in the vision, there I was in a place and I spoke to a woman in the name of Jesus Christ. She come out of the wheelchair. She was lame. She jumped up out of the wheelchair. God instantly healed her. I turned around and went to another room, and there's a circle of people around just like you are right here, around in a circle. And I told them, I got down on my knees and I was weeping and I was crying, and I said, folks, it ain't by works. It's not by works, I kept saying as I cried in the midst of them. I said, it's by the grace of God that it comes to us. That we don't merit nothing. He gives it to us. It's not by works. Right down on my face crying, I said, to prove it to you, I said, there's a woman out there that ain't got no legs, or a person out there that ain't got no legs. I said, I'll pray for her and God will give her back her legs. I never didn't get to pray for her. She come walking in with her legs. Just because I spoke it. It's not by works. It is not by works. It's by the grace of God. You say, don't you believe in works? You say, boy, you sure are backing up. Here you've been preaching, we got to leave this off and leave that off and don't do this and don't dip and don't chew and don't drink it. I still believe every bit of it. I believe you got to fast. I believe you got to pray. I believe you got to seek God. But when you get through with every bit of it, that don't make you nothing. That don't make you nothing. All you did is just break down the old crust so God could put the seed in, pour the water on so we could get a harvest. That's all. Yes, broke up the ground where he could put the seed in. That's all. That's all it is. So then what is it? What are we trying to say to you? We're trying to get across Jordan. You say, I just can't believe it. I tell you what, you better believe it. If you ever want to get out of this world for God's sake and your sake, you better believe it. Somebody said, Brother Pike, where in the Bible did you ever see anybody get out of the world like that? The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith. Is that Bible? He was translated, he walked with God so many hundreds of years, and he was translated by faith. Is that right? Elijah was translated by faith. Moses was translated, appeared in the mountain by faith. Jesus Christ walked right upon the mountain, was transfigured before him, and the Bible said he appeared in heaven in glory. Somebody said he just went right off into glory. No, he didn't. He never went up there and went off into glory. He was in glory when he went up there. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, why did he stand and tell Nicodemus, the Son of Man, who was in heaven and who is in heaven? He was in heaven when he was down there. He just got him up there on the hill so he could just show those few chosen men so the world wouldn't see it. That's all. He was in heaven when he was walking down there. So, now look, really, you know you don't believe going up on a mountain makes that much difference, do you? If it makes that much difference, we all better go up on the mountain. That's right. It don't make that much difference. No, he was in heaven. And I'm going to tell you something else. There's some people in this church tonight that's in heaven. I believe this as much as I believe I'm standing here, I'm in heaven. I don't care what you think about it. You can say what you want to about it. You can feel like you want to about it. But I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. I don't know where you are. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm in heaven. And I thank God for it. And I pass from death unto life. And I'm not looking forward to death. I pass from death unto life. I pass from death unto life. Somebody said, isn't that a beautiful figure of speech the way the Lord taught them there? No, it wasn't no beautiful figure of speech. Jesus Christ said, he that believeth in me, he's passed from death unto life. Somebody said, ain't that cute? He said that so that we'd have a real consolation to know if we keep clinging on and holding on and holding on like a drowning man to a straw. After a while, we might make it over. No, that wasn't it at all. That wasn't what he meant at all. No, sir. When he said, you believe on me, you pass from death unto life, he meant just exactly that. We pass from death unto life. What is death? Here's death right here. The carnal mind, which is the flesh and the body. That's it right there. Where did we pass from death unto life? Right here. When Jesus tasted death for every man and faith in him took me over Jordan. Right there. You believe that? I certainly do believe that. That's the reason people get healed. When people are sick and they turn their faith toward that work that was done right there, I don't care if that sickness can be upon them and go to take their life out of them, and they'll cross over that sickness just like that, because that sickness is part of Jordan. We pass from death unto life. We pass from death unto life. That body is dead. It's gone. It's through forever. It ain't never coming back. It's gone. It's dead. It's dead. I'm free from it. I don't know whether you're free from it or not, but I'm free from it, Brother Gene. I'm free from it. I thank God. Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'm delivered from the body of this death. He said, I thank God that through Jesus Christ, I'm free from that wretched body. I passed from it. You believe that? I'm going to stop right here. Oh, folks, how little we are. How little we are. How little we are. As Brother Al said, he said, Brother Pike, I never knew I was so ignorant. I thought, my, what a similarity in speech. I stood up one time and been in the church for years, had stayed in the church, been taught the doctrines of the church. I'd done what the church done. I shouted, I sang, I jumped. You shout, yes, sir, I've done all of that. I stayed right with them. And then when God called me, as Paul said, away to show me the revelation of Jesus Christ, I said, my Lord, how ignorant I was. How ignorant I was. And the more I learn about him, Brother Al, the more ignorant I realize that the carnal mind really is. What is death? What is death? I'm going to leave it right here so you can think on that. We've got to cross Jordan. We've got to cross Jordan. We've got to do it. Let's all stand together. Jesus one time looked at a rich young ruler. He looked at him. And I look at some of the people here. I look at some of the people. I look at them. The rich young ruler came to him and he said, good master. He said, what must I do to be saved? Well, anybody knows the only way to be saved is escape death. What is safety? To get out of the hands of death, Brother John. That's the only safety there is. How can I get out of the hands of death, the young ruler said? How can I escape this penalty of death that's imposed upon me? How can I be saved, Lord? From your wrath and judgment of annihilation and death and destruction. Jesus said, if you would enter into life, if you would enter into life and escape death, he said, keep the commandments. The rich young ruler said, Lord, all of this have I done from my youth up. I've always kept the commandments, he said. There's people, Brother Taylor, that started the church. They started the church when it was sitting on their daddy's knee, their mother's knee. I've done this all my life, he said. I've been a church member ever since I was born into this world. Oh, that was the essence of it. But he looked at him and he said, yet likest thou. Yet likest thou. Oh, he said, Lord, I've kept all that they taught me. But he said, yet likest thou. Yet likest thou one thing. What does the world like? Eternal life. You've kept all the doctrines and the dogmas and disciplines. You've done everything the church world done. But yet likest thou one thing. What is it? Eternal life. You've never come to eternal life. He said, yet likest thou one thing. He said, go sell all that you have. All that you have. This is the trouble. men can't give their all.
They can't give their all. You say, Brother Pike, you talking about my money? May God help your money to perish with you if you're in that frame of mind. I'm talking about you. Like I heard one time, there was an Indian, he come along. Paul said, I covet that no man's ever gold. I don't know. But here, no one can follow the Lord. The Lord didn't save him. He brought his Tommy Hall up there. He laid that down. The Lord didn't save him. He brought everything he had one at a time. He laid up there. The Lord didn't save him. Finally, God said to him, I don't want you, Tommy Hall. You ever heard that little saying? Maybe it really happened. I don't know. I don't want what you got to offer. God doesn't want your money. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. All the gold is mine, he said. All the silver is mine. Look, if I'm sent by God Almighty, eternal, everlasting, if the God that made everything in the earth sent me, do you think he wouldn't stand behind me and supply the needs I have? Well, sure he would. If he wouldn't do it, then there's a good proof that I wasn't sent by him. I'd quit. I'd quit. Sure, I'd quit. That'd be the best proof I know. Like Brother Branham said one time, said he'd drink branch water and eat soda crackers. He said, if God don't meet my needs, I'll go back out yonder. Brother Junior said, I'll go back out there and I'll go to work as a game warden. Sure, might as well do it. But what he wanted, as the little story said, he wanted the old Indian himself. God doesn't want what you got. He wants you. If he gets you, he'll own what you got. Is that right? He wants you. He wants you. All these evangelists running around saying $50 here and $100 there, and God showed me $25 over here. That's not God. Why would God get out and beg for $25 over here and $50? Don't you know Jesus didn't do that? The apostles didn't do that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't work like that. Why is he letting them people go through the land like that anyway? Because people have failed to give to the true cause of Christ, and because of that, he's letting sharks go through the land, just taking what they got, scaring them half to death, saying you'll have a wreck before you get home if you don't give me your money you got to pay on your refrigerator. He wanted the old Indian. What does God want tonight, folks? He wants you. He wants a divine surrender. He wants you to surrender your will. Surrender your thoughts. Bring every thought into subjection to the revelation and Word of God. The mind of the Lord. Bring every desire. Oh, you say, this is a hard saying. Who can receive it? They went away sorrowful. They went away sorrowful. Like a man said one time when I was preaching, he went away sorrowful. He said, if that's what it takes, I'll never make it. That's what it takes. What does it take? It takes your life. It took Jesus' life on the cross. What will it take for you to cross Jordan? It's going to take your life. Lay down your life. If I lay down my life for you, can't you lay down your life for me, Jesus said. If you lose your life, you save it. You gain it, you lose it. Lose it for my sake, you save it unto eternal life. He said to the rich young ruler, yet likest thou one thing. Likest thou one thing. Sell all you got. The Bible said the rich young ruler had many possessions. He went away sorrowful. Jesus looked on him and loved him. Loved him. Yet likest thou one thing. Did Jesus want his money? Did he? No, no. He wanted control of the rich young ruler, and he knew that the love of money and wealth had control of him. That's where the trouble was. You believe that's the Bible? Let me say this, and we're going to close. He went right on over to another rich man, Zacchaeus. Didn't he? He said, Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree. I know you up there. Zacchaeus run over there and said, Lord, half of my goods I'll give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anybody falsely, he said, Lord, I'll give them four times as much as I took away. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, salvation's come to your house. I'm going to eat dinner with you. I'm going to come in and sup with you. See, he didn't want what the rich young ruler had. He didn't tell Zacchaeus he had to sell all he had. But I'm going to tell you, that covetousness was in the heart of the rich young ruler. And it's in the heart of many of you today. You won't surrender your will. You won't surrender your desire. You won't surrender that outer man unto death, that inner man might live. You love him? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together.
I don't believe any of you is any tireder than I am. The Lord started dealing with me early this morning, kept me tense and under strain for hours talking with me. And my head was ringing early this morning. Is that right, Brother Gonzalez? Did I tell you even early this morning? I said, by night I'll be beat. Father, Lord of heaven, as we come to the close of another service, we're tired, Lord. The people are tired. Lord, we need your blessings and your guidance and your understanding. Lord, as we come to another service, the end of another service tonight, we are very thankful because we do not need anything in this world except your grace. Lord, there's not anything that we need except your grace. Father, and we thank you for that grace that's given to whosoever will come. And we ask in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus, Lord, give us more of the revelation of Christ. Give us more of your word. I beg of thee, Lord, after all of these many years, give me more revelation. Give me more of your love and glory. Give me more of your divine word. I ask you to do it. And let me grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I ask it in your name. Amen. Shake hands with somebody. Come back and be with us.